Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Well, folks, we made it through show number 100. Back here for show 101, but I have to apologize. I did lie a little bit last week, and due to some work issues and such, I was unable to get Brad here. So we're going to hold off on the second part of the continuation of our look back at the last 2 years of Why Fish. But that's okay, because I've been trying to get this other show put together for a couple weeks now. Throughout the winter, we've been telling you about our good friend, known on Lake State as Esox Pirate, John Falk, who's been here before, who was over in Iraq. And every week we'd always say something about Iraq, whether you were okay or not. But he's back. He's sitting in my living room as we speak. He appears to be in one piece, although you never know with this crazy guy. So, John, welcome home from the desert.
Brad, it's good to be here. It's just good to be back in North Dakota, get back with my family, and back doing a little bit of fishing here. I've been back for about 3 weeks now. So,
well, that's why I wanted to bring you on the show. Is you know, you're probably the biggest fishaholic that I know personally. I mean, you're the one guy I know that if you had 3 minutes to fish, you'd fish all three of them, and you know that would probably be after an hour drive each direction. But you know, how was it getting by for 4 months away from fishing?
Well, it was a rough 4 months. First thing I did is I contacted some people that were out in the location I was. I was in southern Iraq at a base called Ali Air Base. It was just a support air base. But after speaking with them, they notified me that there was a little pond that they called the lake on the base, called Lake Wisconsin, of all things. It's where I'm from, in southern Wisconsin. And it had some fish in there, and some people had caught some fish, and they didn't really have anything much more for me more than that. Before I left, I bought a little compact Shakespeare collapsible rod and reel, all the combo case, and put together a rough tackle box of everything I could think I would need if I was just down the road, and instantly found a place to fish and shipped it all over there to myself.
Well, that's an interesting way to get your fishing tackle from point A to point B, is ship it. I'm sure the Upstruck guy doesn't show up every morning to give you a package over there.
Yeah, the Upstruck guy doesn't show up every morning to get a package. Everything comes USPS, and postal service could take anywhere from 8 days to, we saw it take up to 3 months to get a package from the States over there. It was real finicky. It was a good time, though. Everything got over safe. I didn't break a rod. I kind of enjoyed that.
So did you get an opportunity to fish Lake Wisconsin while you were there?
Out of 11 days off in the 4 months I was there, I either was on the lake or out there doing something or other 9 of the 11 days.
So my assessment of driving an hour for 3 minutes of fishing is accurate, am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The lake from where I was living was about 2 clicks away, 2 kilometers away, and we would either hitch a ride, walk it, or we'd go steal bikes from the army guys and ride over there.
And what kind of fish were you finding?
The most common thing we saw was a typical shiner that we'd see around here. They were all over the surface. We used some netting that we found, some mosquito netting, somebody spread it across a couple dowel rods and made a makeshift net out of it, and you could spread oatmeal on the surface, and they'd come up, and you'd go down, and you'd scoop them up with the makeshift net we had, and we had our minnows right there for doing a little bit of jigging.
Obviously, there's probably not a bait shop on every corner in the desert either.
The best bait shop I found actually was online, and I was buying more lures and stuff and sending them home than my wife was pleased with, actually. But,
well, I know as well as anybody who was visiting Lake State, you had a habit of showing up in there to kill some time and do whatever, but at least you were able to get a little taste of your passion through the internet and letters or something.
Actually, the internet is one of the best tools I had over there for friends, and I got to contact friends and talk with them, and they got to tell me about their fishing experiences and got to see all the great pictures that they had of the what was going on and their different past trips. Got to help some people out with advice. It was the thing to look forward to every day when I went to work, is that little bit of time where I got to dip out and hop on Lake State or you know, a couple of the other fishing websites for the area up here. It helps pass time no matter where you're at, you know. You get a little bit of lull time, you get in there, you learn something, or you find a new tip.
Well, I asked you this the day you got, or the first day I saw you after you got home. And I never did say anything on the show about it. But I was getting a package ready for him to send over. I had some fish hooks and some magazines. And a Vexilar product video showed up in the mail. Well, I already had one, so I threw that in. I only thought it fitting that he needed to look at some Vexilars. Actually, there was a very nice fishing video from Lake of the Woods on that DVD, which is why I sent it. And I figured it would be a little taste of home, give him something to do. But my first question was, what did the Southern boys think of that crazy videotape? So I got it was kind of a funny response you had to it.
Yeah. The Vexilar DVD shows up in the mail one day, and I'm all excited about this. And everybody's like, well, what's Vexilar? I said, Vexilar's a flasher. They're like, well, what's a flasher? I said, a flasher is kind of a fish locator that you use through the ice. And they said, well, you can't use a real fish locator. I said, it doesn't work as well. But I got the Vexilar product DVD, and I watched it about 3 or 4 times, and somebody just couldn't believe that, you know, this was going on, and ran into a guy who, he's from northern Minnesota, he's from International Falls.
And, ice country.
Yeah. And he was stationed down in Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. And we started BSing, and he had control of the TV station that ran the whole base. You know, whatever he played on this, whatever DVD was broadcast through the whole base. And wouldn't you know it, that about 2 days later, we were playing our Vexilar product DVD over the entire base in the middle of Iraq. And it happened to be about 85 degrees out that morning.
So I got to ask, I didn't get into this part of the story. I didn't hear this one. Anyway, so did you play the video from Lake of the Woods, or did you make them go through all the Vexilar units?
It didn't go through all the Vexilar units. We went through the highlight reels, the Lake of the Woods tape. There was a couple others on there. I think there was 3 or 4 in total. And it was a good time. Another one I got was I got a couple of snowmobiling DVDs. And you want to make some people think you're an idiot. You watch those in the middle of the desert, and they really think you're crazy.
Well, hey, you know, I've been called crazy for living up here and or actually liking the cold weather. So, you know, I can't imagine why in the Middle East somebody would think you were nuts for watching such a thing.
Talking about people thinking you're nuts, my wife said when I got home I had to spend time with the family, and I had no problem with that. My wife gave birth to my new son while I was gone in October.
Congratulations. I'm sure that was a fine wait to get home for that.
It was a good thing. He was 3 months old to the day, and met him at the airport when I arrived, and he proceeded to he decided he didn't like the milk he had for breakfast that day and gave it back to me. It was kind of interesting.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah, real pleasant. But we took a week and kind of hung around the house with the kids and everybody and the mama. And Crystal and I had a wedding in Bemidji. And through a good friend, hard water fanatic, Lauren Kaiser, been on the show, member of Lake State. He hooked me up with a friend of his out in Bemidji who took me out one morning out there. And not only did he take me out in the morning to try and put me on some fish, but he took me on the coldest day in the past 3 years. It was 35 below, and that didn't count the wind chill that morning.
So nothing like coming back from, what, an average of 85 to 120, and what was it? It was like 30 below before the wind blew that morning, if I recall.
My pickup rode 33 below, and that doesn't count the wind chill. And it was definitely a little bit of a shocker.
Well, welcome home.
It's good to be back.
So, anyway, we talked about that. We want, you know, glad John made it back. And I'm sure we'll be talking about the big sandbox over there over and over and over in conversations. But now you're here. The important stuff. Middle of winter. Fishing plans. I know I've been out with you once already. We're working on plan 2 for this coming week, and you know, kind of what do you got in mind, because you got 4 months to make up for here.
I got 4 months to make up for, and at the pace I fish, it's really hard to make up for 4 months. I'm usually out on the water somewhere 2 to 3 times a week, and that's a pretty light week for me. I I'm going to take a 3-day trip up to Upper Red with good friends from work and go up there and pound the walleyes and see if we can't get a couple of skittish crappies by chance. Hey, definitely going to do some more piking with Brad. It's always a good time running the tip-ups, and maybe we'll try and get out to Devils for a couple walleyes. But taking a week off, I've got a cousin coming up from Wisconsin because there ain't no good ice in southern Wisconsin, he says. Ain't no good fishing.
Is there 3 inches or less?
It's pretty scary down there, he says.
You may not have heard this, but on December 3rd, I went fishing on 2.5 inches of ice in Devil's Lake. Not happening again. But I don't know if I told you that or not.
That's pretty thin ice. We got a picture from a year and a half ago with a friend. We were out on the Coulee Diversion out here, and you could stick your hand down and grab completely around the ice, and you could see your fingers and your thumb on one side or the other. Your ice was so thin, so clear. Couldn't have been more than 2.5, 3.5 inches that day.
That's about what I was on.
Yeah. But Cousin Joel's going to come up, and we're just going to take a week. And starting here in Grand Forks, we're going to start traveling, and we're going to see where we end up. And I'd like to end up down to St. Cloud for the great UND St. Cloud series that weekend, but plans always have a tendency to change on where the fish bite. So,
well, folks, I wanted to get John on. I wanted to talk to him while he was still fresh back, because it's very important, I think, that we remember these guys are thinking of us while they're there. They want to see the fish pictures. Some of them want to see the snowmobiles and the ice fishing videos. Some of them may not want to see such a thing, but you know, if you know anybody over there that's a fisherman, you know, get those videos over there. It appears that one went over pretty good. I'm assuming magazines are popular over there.
Magazines are super popular. Any fishing or hunting magazine you have, just take it, and you can take your address and cut it off or black it out with a Sharpie, throw it in a box or a package, and send it over. And not only does whoever you send it to get it, but it gets circulated.
So that's always a fine thing, you know, that things are getting passed around. But John, welcome home. Thanks for coming on Why Fish. I'm sure you'll be here many, many more times. And if you're not, I'm sure I'll see you on the water at some point or another more than once or twice.
Oh, it's been good being here, and it's good to be back. I can't wait to get out there and freeze a little with you someday.
That sounds good. Well, Brad's not here, so I have to try to remember his line. That concludes this episode of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.